Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Trewell. My very special guest this evening is a fellow podcaster who is quite a bit more successful, a paranormal investigator, a researcher, and an independent filmmaker. Please join me in welcoming Ashley Hilt.
Well, welcome thanks aboard, for having Ashley. Me back again.
Ashley has been a repeater on this show and is definitely a friend of the show. You are a real boots on the ground investigator who goes to sites and collects evidence and interviews witnesses. What have you been up to lately?
Well, not a lot of that lately, unfortunately. But it's been ramping up again. So sometimes when you do a job like this, it's very interesting how it ebb and flows, especially because you're kind of an independent contractor, right? So you set your own schedule. But sometimes there's really nothing to investigate. I mean, you can choose a location and you can go out and, you know, check it out. Doesn't mean anything's going to happen. Then again, about 98% of the time that you go to these places, nothing happens anyway. But I had gotten really heavy into searching out local UFO sightings back in the spring, because I had helped out actually doing an art show, which is something I never thought that I would ever do in my life.
Oh, yes. That was a fascinating exhibit that you described. I wish I would have been able to get to Ohio and see it, but... Please,
it was a lot of fun.
Elaborate.
It was a lot of fun. One of my friends owns an oddities and curiosity shop in Fairborn, Ohio. And Fairborn, Ohio, for people that aren't familiar with the area, is kind of dubbed Halloween Town, Ohio. so it is. There's a guy there who owns like a whole strip of like Halloween stores. There's like a store for adult costumes, one for kids costumes. There's home decor, haunted house decor. It's all kinds of stores that you can shop. Well, she opened up her shop there on that strip, in the hopes of kind of making the area well known for being strange, right? Which is, you know, wonderful. So her store, she has a haunted museum in the basement also. And then she's got another space that she hosts different types of events. It's very eclectic, but also very fitting. So she'll have burlesque shows that you can go see. She did an event where people got to do, got to come and take pictures with and like pet on baby goats. She's done, you know, drag story times. Just all kinds of stuff.
I'm sorry, I didn't expect baby goats to come up.
Baby goats, yeah. I mean, really, like I said, very eclectic. So one of the things that she wanted to do was shine a light on the UFO phenomena in the area, because Fairborn happens to back up right up to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. A chunk of the Air Force Base is located in Fairborn, Ohio. Wow. And yeah, so she wanted
Wright-Patterson is legendary, of course, in the field, yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's where the Roswell crash debris is allegedly in the bodies. You know, it's a big one.
That's where Nixon took Jackie Gleason.
Yep.
You know the story I'm talking about, right?
I do.
Yes. It's alleged that President Nixon, who was close friends with Jackie Gleason, who was totally into UFOs, allegedly took him there one night to see the alien bodies. Now, yeah. I have no idea whether that's true, but it was reported.
Yeah. There's also a famous senator who came to ask about the bodies and was threatened about them. I can't remember his name.
Is it Barry Goldwater?
Yes. Yep. That's who it is.
Yes. Yep. He wanted to see the evidence and they would not give it to him.
No. They said, not only can you not see it, but don't you ever ask about it again, they told him. So Wright Pat happens to be, you know, because I'm local to it, one of my main areas of research. I talk to civilian workers, I talk to private contractors, I talk to people that work for the military. You know, some of these people are very, I mean, the very top secret people, I guess I can say.
Oh yes.
One of them I know recently came forward in an article about the David Grush situation. And I only know that because he disclosed to me that he came forward about it and then now feels some type of way because the base actually went backwards on it and said, put out an article stating, well, somebody by that name doesn't work here. He didn't use his real name. You don't use your real name when you make a statement in the press like that. So it's been a very interesting, that's kind of been coming to light. I've kind of stayed away from it a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should be jumping into it. But sometimes this stuff gets very real.
Oh, yes.
You're researching it.
I was going to ask you about this later, but I may as well just go with it. What is your take on that? Because
Oh, gosh.
I have kept it at arm's length as well. I am not believer in the sense that I'm biting on everything that somebody in the government says, but I'm not a denier either. I just we'll see how it works out. Okay. I believe there are factions in the government that hold two different positions. And some people
Sure.
point out this is not the first time we've heard this. But
Right.
no, but if there are two sides, have you ever seen, probably not because it might be before your time, but the late 90s X-Files spin-off Millennium?
No, I have not, no.
Okay. It's a great show. I digress, but it's involves a secret organization. And within this secret organization, there are two factions, the Roosters and the Owls. The Roosters want to crow and wake everybody up and tell everybody the real truth. Here's what's really going on. And the Owls are like, no, we need to stay quiet and not tell anybody anything. I believe those two factions are within the government and that there may be something physical, literal, nuts and bolts, flesh and blood aliens that wouldn't cancel out any of the mystical stuff. It just would be something else. But that there are definitely two factions. One doesn't want to say anything, and one wants, we want to know everything. And if they're battling back and forth, we would have heard this before. Yeah, we've heard it several times before, but we've never gotten the answers, you know? That's my take, but please.
Sure. I mean, the whole thing, you know, like you said in the beginning of it, he's not saying anything that hasn't been said before. As a matter of fact, a lot of what he's saying has been beaten into the ground. We've heard it tons before. And I think that some people are finding it shocking what he's saying because, well, let's talk about what the claim that David Grush is making. He's saying that we have a secret program where we have been reverse or attempting to reverse engineer alien technology, not alien technology, but specifically non-human intelligence technology. And during his News Nation interview, he got pretty specific with what that means. You know, for him, it's intelligent life that is not of a human origin. And that, of course, it's specific, but also very vague. Well, what does that mean? Is he talking grays? Is he talking non-human because they're not from Earth? Is he talking non-human because they're gaseous? He did kind of go on a little bit to give, I can't remember exactly what he had said in that interview, but he did give a little bit more bits and pieces, and he kind of made it seem like these things are sort of transcendent from our own capabilities and not just like in the sense of obviously they've perfected time travel, but they are just completely different creatures than what we can really comprehend. Now, the
which,
problem
if
with that,
true, is the biggest news story in the history of Earth.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah, ever. Right. That's huge. That's massive.
And you can only do that disclosure once. Once you
right.
say that, you know, if the president of the United States comes out and says, this is what's happening, and says essentially what Grush is saying, you can't walk that back and say, it's not really that big. It is a huge deal. It's every deal, you know?
It means that we're, we are an inferior species in the universe. It means that, you know, us as humans, we live our lives knowing that we are superior to everything on this earth, right? If you have a fly in your house, well, you're going to kill it because you can, because you're bigger than it, because you're smarter than it, because eventually you're going to catch it and you're going to kill it. Nobody's going to do anything to stop you. If you have farm animals, well, you have them because you are going to slaughter them and use them as a food source. I mean, we are superior to everything, even, you know, animals that live in the wild. Well, we're going to come home and we're going to cut their trees down and ruin their habitat and build housing because, again, we can. That's we're allowed. Nothing's going to tell us we can't.
We're the apex predator. Everything that used to prey on us, we developed weapons of iron. And now they're all endangered.
Right. We have no real
enemies. We used to
worship
like grizzly bears and wolves and stuff. And now we see them in the zoo and we try to protect the ones that are still alive because we've wiped all the rest out. You know, we think we're top of the heap, but yeah, this challenges very, that.
Right. We're very arrogant. And so the only thing above us and, you know, in any capacity, whatever you want to call it, is God. And that's it. So if we are now having to accept that there's something else that is above us that isn't, I mean, is it God? Are we going to call, is that what they are to us? Well, kind of, you know, and so that it just challenges so much about the human condition that you're right. I mean, it is an absolutely huge claim to make. So it sounds ridiculous to a lot of people. People don't care. A lot of people don't care.
Oh, yes. Including people within the paranormal community who are very dismissive of it. Absolutely. And I have friends, and they're from, we don't have to agree on everything. We can still be friends, you know, it's cool. But who are absolutely dismissive of this. This is just complete BS. It's nothing. It's, don't even pay any attention to it. I respectfully disagree. I think it may be something very, very important. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I think there may be finally something coming out, you know, and it comes down to a real struggle between the elected officials who are, and they're deeply imperfect, and I'm not supporting anybody's politics, but major senators don't put their names on stuff that's just bullcrap, that's going to blow back on them and make them look like idiots, you know what I mean? And Charles Schumer, the majority leader of the Senate, the most powerful senator from New York, and Marco Rubio, one of the senior Republican senators from Florida, both have demanded to know this information. If this is just some, this isn't Doty talking at a UFO convention, you know what I mean? These are real powerful people, and they're demanding to know this. And then four-star generals are telling them, no, we don't know anything about anything. There's a real conflict going there. I believe that conflict is real.
Yeah, but that's where we as humans come into play. And that's why some of this is going to be very hard to ever get out there in the open. So, you know, you're right. It's not just people speaking at a convention. It's not just me, right? Getting on a podcast rambling. I'm not impressed by what Brush is saying simply because I already knew what he was saying. You know, that already feeds into my own theories about what these things kind of might be. But I am very interested and curious in the process, why this is happening now, what's going to come of it. And, you know, the biggest thing that people seem to be throwing out here is that, I think actually you and I had talked about this against some guy on social media about how this is very akin to a trial. They're going under oath.
Yes, exactly. It is very much like it. And people say, well, you don't have any concrete evidence. If I may just repeat kind of what we were talking about, if you're a juror in a murder case, the DA doesn't wheel in the corpse on a gurney and say, here's the body. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
They call the coroner who did the autopsy to testify. You call expert. You don't get to handle the bullet. Okay. You call in a ballistics expert and they tell you what they saw. So the idea that he's just repeating what other people saw. Yeah, that's how hearings and trials work. Sound about right?
It's pretty similar. But to say the man has no evidence at all is not correct. When you come forward as a whistleblower, you don't even get this far until you have something that supports what you're saying. You can't just come out and go, oh, I'm going to tell on everybody without anything. There is documentation. We know that there is documentation. And that's because if you listen to the hearing that happened, he had mentioned that, and they had mentioned, oh my gosh, I can't think of the dumb word. He had mentioned a couple of times, I can't provide that here, but I'll provide it in the
exactly,
blank, which He's is like a private
by classification, a closed hearing. Yeah.
Right. Right. It's like a private meeting that they all have where he then provides what he physically has to back up what it is that he's saying. And we don't get access to that information because this is an investigation, and that could compromise the investigation by putting it out there.
Absolutely.
And people don't accept that. They don't like that answer.
And I'm baffled by the people. And again, this includes friends of mine who are friends of mine, and we're cool, but I'm baffled by the people who want pictures or to see the bodies. So what you want are pictures and props. We know how to create those. Those are the most easily fakeable thing in the world. If this was all fake, they could give you all the pictures and film possible. They could give you a dead alien, but it won't really be a dead alien. It'll be a Hollywood prop. But that's not what's important. What's important is professionals. And I mean, these are not entry-level workers. These are people who've put their lives into this field in the military and, you know, other in the sciences. And they're saying under oath with significant penalty of perjury and other penalties that, hey, this really happened and I'm putting my name on this. That doesn't just happen out of nowhere.
No. And, you know, I don't know if people think that, you know, he would do it for money. But I can tell you there's no money in making those kinds of claims. Anybody would tell you there's no money in making those kinds of claims. You know, I don't know if it's for notoriety. You know, just pretending for a second that, you know, he's not telling the truth. But he wouldn't, again, he wouldn't have made it as far as he did if he had nothing but his word. It just doesn't work that way. Just with most any, that's why it's very comparable to a trial. You don't just go to trial with just your word.
There's a significant vetting process to get this far.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not endorsing his politics except on this one issue, but Senator Marco Rubio put it quite well. And I'm paraphrasing, but only slightly, where he said either one of two things is true. Either there really are alien bodies and crashed spaceships, or we have an entire large number of people with top classifications and great credentials who are lying to us. Either way, it's a big deal.
Yeah, right.
And I felt that pretty much sums it up. Either way, it's a big deal.
Yeah, but both are very important. And so, you know, we'll see if anything does come out of it. Maybe nothing will. But, I'm hopeful. I'm hoping that, you know, it continues. But, you know, my curiosity is more centered on the why, because what my information states, and my information is not just I read a couple of UFO books sometimes. My information is from contactees. Again, it's from very important people that work at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. It's from credible sources. My information states that we, even the government that's hiding it, don't know what these things really are. We don't really know how their technology works. One of the more interesting claims that I've had made. So Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is actually a really known haunted location. It's been featured on all the famous ghost shows, and people talk about the ghosts there all the time. But what my communications have said is that it's not haunted. What it is they do have this strange technology that they don't know how it works. And when they try to play with it, it makes weird stuff happen. And putting it together as, hey, this place is haunted, is a really good front to hide some really insane technology that we're trying to play with. And then every couple of years, our scientists put this stuff back, and then they'll put it back for a while. They'll let our science advance a little bit. They'll pull it back out. And we have not quite yet gotten to the point to where we fully understand it enough. They get scared because they don't know what they're working with. And then as far as alien life itself goes, you know, again, I think that there are some instances where potentially we've made contact. Maybe we've potentially even gotten bodies. But even with the contact and with the bodies, we still don't know enough about these things to make a public statement about it. And as we learned with the coronavirus, people really don't like when you stand in front of all of us and you're an authority figure and you go, look, we just don't know.
I'm really pro disclosure, but I also realize there's going to be problems because there's a segment of the population that's going to scream demons as soon as they disclose anything. And that's not going to be good. It may be necessary, but it's not going to be good. there's a lot of unanswered questions there. I hope you don't mind if I ask you this, but have you ever been threatened or like told not to look into something?
No, not yet.
So far, so good.
Right? I mean, I guess I have from, but not from anybody that I thought was really a direct threat. More from people within the community that are like, oh, you don't want to look into that. And then I look into it, nothing happens. So,
so the men in black haven't showed up and like sent you a message or anything.
No, I wish they would. I keep taunting them. I'm like, look, let's do this. And they won't. We did have an instance on the show where we were, it was really neat actually. And, you know, we kind of joke about it because who knows, technical difficulties. You and I were just talking about this before we started recording.
Yes.
But ironically, we were recording an episode on interrupted broadcasts. And while we're doing that, you know, we talked about max headroom. We talked about the bomb threat in Hawaii, you know, just random odds and ends. But of course, we ended the episode with the most famous one of all, the Area 51 caller on Coast to Coast with our
yes.
And while we're talking,
may
about
or may not
it,
have been Whitley Strieber, but yeah.
Oh, I did not realize that that may or may not have been Whitley Strieber.
That's an allegation that floats around. He denies it, but people say that that may have been him.
Well, the guy called back later and was like, it was me. It was a joke.
Huh.
But in the middle,
I did not know that last part.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, the guy called back later. He just was nobody. He was like, yeah, I just called and it was all a joke, but I don't know why he got taken off the air. So while this guy is freaking out on the phone about, in case people don't know, about Area 51 and what it houses, the transmission was cut, not from the caller, but the entire radio station went down. And, you know, it was weird. And they didn't talk to the guy after that until a couple of months later. He came back on. He did the voice. You know, he said, I'm the guy. A lot of people are like, well, but maybe that was a plant. Maybe that wasn't really the guy. Voice acting is like that. We just talked about that on the recent episode. How people can just get replaced easily. But while we're talking about it, our podcast goes down. It was very strange.
And again, it's easy to, you know, maybe I'm being paranoid, but that does seem to happen.
It happens on a number
of Zoom calls, a number of, you know, group live streams and stuff. They seem to cut out on certain topics more than others. And we do joke about, yeah, that's what they don't want you to know. But it is a thing. It's a thing that happens, you know?
Yeah. Right. Is it just technology is playing a well-timed joke, or is it significant? So far, you know, again, nobody's physically come to my home or threatened me in any way. I've never been followed by black helicopters. Nothing like that has taken place. As I was saying about my involvement with the recent UAP disclosure and how it kind of started hitting close to home for me, you know, again, sometimes some of the stuff does become very real. And, you know, it's fun to listen to these shows. It's fun to watch the TV and the documentaries and read the books and stuff like that. But, you know, you really have to stop for a second and take stock of yourself and go, do I really believe that this is real? Because if I do, those are some very horrifying implications. And that's something that I have to do quite often. And sometimes, I mean, I'm human. Yeah, I've decided to do this for a living, but sometimes it's very overwhelming. And sometimes it feels nice to kind of take a step back. And I can do that. I'm allowed.
Absolutely. Nice. So, yes, but, that is your decision.
You know, I've considered different possibilities. And, you know, I've held back on doing certain things because of the possibilities. And I mean, that fear is definitely always there. So.
Have I ever told you my black SUV story?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Right about the time I started getting kind of serious with this podcast, all these black SUVs started showing up around my house. And they're the kind the feds drive, okay? And they seemed to sit in a certain location and shine their headlights into my kitchen for like an hour. Okay. And I'm like, am I being paranoid? Is this just some dude sitting talking on the phone or what? But why would you be there? That seems a really odd spot. And I tried to replicate it and I couldn't find the spot where you would sit and shine me. And I just started seeing a lot of black SUVs. And okay, I witnessed a federal raid one time and they're exactly what the feds drive. Okay. And I'm like, am I under some sort of investigation? I'm not doing anything. I can't imagine what I'd possibly be under investigation for. But all these vehicles keep showing up and they seem to keep sitting there, like shining me. And once I did something, I was this black SUV sitting across the street. Now, when I say across the street, it's actually a four-lane divided highway, so it's not, you know, it's not as close as it might sound, but it's close enough. And it's been sitting there for a while, shining its headlights into my kitchen window. And I did not have a gun on me at the time, but I made a gun, you know, gesture with my hand and kind of like went like bang, and it drove off instantly at that second. Wow. I'm like, you were watching me, weren't you? You had to be watching me. That can't be a coincidence. And I don't know what to make of that.
Well, so I think we did talk about this during the Men in Black episode, because I do think that I encountered a Men in Black. It just wasn't a violent or scary encounter.
Well, this was not exactly, this is nothing direct, but it was just kind of there, you know?
Yeah. I wasn't told to not talk about things or anything. It was just collecting my UFO story, and that was it.
what was your experience?
Oh, gosh, it's so strange. So back when I was about 19, I was on Craigslist, and which is, you know, never a good idea. But sometimes you see some really interesting stuff there. I live in Dayton, Ohio, the city for arts and celebration. And I mean, we got all kinds of stuff going on here. So while I was on there, there was a post from a student at Wright State University. And Wright State has a film school there. And so they were making a film and they were making it on UFOs. Yeah. And so he was asking for people's UFO stories. And so I was like, well, hey, I got one. And this was way before I did any of this. As a matter of fact, I was terrified of aliens. I didn't want to talk about them, or, you know, I didn't want to have seen what I had seen at that point in my life, which was just a basic, I saw it was like two headlights came out from beyond the tree line at my home and just kind of, you know, fucked off into the night. I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but it was very scary to me. They were clearly attached, and whatever it was especially low. So this wasn't like way, way high in the sky. I mean, it looked like a car driving through the sky. Decently low, but I couldn't see a shape because it's in the middle of the night. I just saw two lights. And so I go and I meet this guy, and we meet at a local coffee shop. I was married at the time. I took my husband with me. I tell him my story. He had a recorder and he was writing stuff down, and then that was it. I mean, I can't tell you any details about what this guy looked like. Wasn't dressed like an actual Men in Black. He looked like a college student. That was very plain. And so that's not the weird part. The weird part is... like 3 years later.
I always like it when people use the phrase "the weird part," because that's you're aware.
Like when you hear the title of a movie in a movie.
Yes, precisely.
That's why they called it this. The weird part of it was I was on Craigslist about 3 years later, and I see the exact post word for word. Hi, I'm a student at Wright State University. I'm making a film about UFOs as my student film. If you've had an encounter, get a hold of me. And I didn't get a hold of him because, you know, again, I didn't do none of this then. This wasn't my life yet. And it was so strange. I don't think that it's possible to have it, for this person to be taking the same class, working on the exact same project 3 years later. Here's the thing about Wright State. Wright State used to be a part of Wright Pat. We know that We know that Wright Pat has an underground tunnel system. That's one of the things that you hear, the rumors that you hear about it is that, oh, there's an underground tunnel system. They deny it, deny it, deny it, doesn't exist. Well, again, Wright State used to be a part of Wright Pat. It's they touch each other. And Wright State does have an underground tunnel system and always has ever since it turned into a college. So
I'm
we know that
stunned
they
how
have
many
one.
colleges have an underground tunnel system. It's just a weird thing, but go ahead.
I think it's just an easy, it's an easy travel system for a lot of, a lot of people. But yeah, they have an underground, as well. So, there is some correlation between the two.
Oh,
So
absolutely.
are these, college students that are, are they, let's just break apart. We talked about the Men in Black. Let's break apart what the Men in Black maybe actually are. Potentially they work for the government. Are they being hired by the government to go out and collect these stories? And then they get out of school and they go and tell people, oh yeah, I was hired by the government to collect UFO stories. People are like, yeah, whatever, guy. Or are they plants? Did they not actually go to school there at all?
That
Could it
dude
be some
so
type of
sounds like a plant. It sounds like an ongoing, it sounds like an ongoing program where we roll this out every few years and just see what people know and get them to tell their stories and find out what
Well,
they
and
know.
whatever it may be, maybe it's not related to aliens at all. Maybe it's something directly with the base, and they're trying to figure out the demographic of if people are seeing experimental craft.
Oh, absolutely. That could be true too.
It could be very simple, or it could be even as far as it's not related to the base at all. This is an alien, and they're here because the Men in Black are aliens. Who knows? I wish I could. I wish it. I hope it happens again. If it happens again, I'm going to meet up with this person thing, whatever it is, and we're going to have a very serious talk. But I don't even think Craigslist is a thing anymore. I guess I haven't really looked to see if it is.
Man,
I
am I
don't
the
know where else
wrong
they'd be
guy to ask?
posting. Yeah, I know. I don't even know where they would
But
post it at otherwise. I guess a local community
yeah.
group or something.
Well, they're
But
probably on Facebook, I would guess.
it could be on Facebook now. There's like the neighbor, the next door app or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm
Oh,
not
the
good at this stuff
patch.
either.
Do you have the patch where you live?
No. Well, probably, but I don't know.
Okay. We have the patch is this, I think it's nationwide, and it gives you local stories about your area, like your neighborhood or your municipality. And it's a news feed basically, and people can comment and stuff, but it's pro it that's where I guess it probably shows up now, if I had to guess.
I just found it. I had no idea this was even a thing. That's very interesting.
Wow, I actually told somebody your age how some technological stuff worked.
Oh, I'll let you take the W, but just to be honest, I'm a bad millennial. I am so bad at technology and
Yeah, but I'm
trends
Gen X, so I mean, I had so many cassettes, it's just, yeah, I deal with change as best I can anyway, which doesn't mean it's not good. It just means it's something you got to do,
Sure. Yeah,
Here,
absolutely.
this is something that we touched on briefly, but is the hardest part for me to believe about all of the disclosure stuff is the reverse engineering. I question whether that'd be of any value at all. Okay, I can believe in alien bodies. I can believe in crashed spaceships. It's the reverse engineering that I have a tough time with. Let's say you went back and gave Ben Franklin a laptop. Could he do
Sure.
anything with that?
Probably.
Probably,
Well,
maybe, but you need a whole.
there's no Wi-Fi in the past, so yeah,
Exactly.
probably
You need a
not.
support system. He's discovering electricity with a kite. You know what I mean? Is he going to make a power system to run this thing longer than the battery runs? If you gave, I don't know, Thomas Edison a boom box. Is he going to be able to make something out of it? Maybe, if it's only so much far ahead. But if it's too far ahead, you can't make anything out of it because you don't have the support structure to make that work. You know what I mean?
I think that's a good point.
And I if they're that far ahead of us, I don't know that we could reverse engineer much of anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I'll draw a realistic example. The Yanomamo people correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the Amazon rainforest in Brazil, they were people, they're indigenous people who didn't have until like the 70s or so much contact with anybody else. And anthropologists showed up there. Well, it quickly degenerated into people were selling guns to the Yanomamo. But the Yanomamo can't make their own guns because they don't have like machine shops and, right, you know, metallurgy, and they don't have any blacksmiths. You know what I mean? They have to buy the guns from the outsiders because they don't have all the technology that it takes to make a gun. So they can have a gun and they have as many bullets as they paid for, but that's what they got. They can't reverse engineer it because they don't have all the other 101 things you need to make functional firearms. You know what I mean? It seems like reverse engineering would be a lot like that. You know, if it's just a little bit ahead of us, then we could do that. But if it's 1,000 years ahead of us, there's no way we could really make anything out of this, you know?
Well, and to my understanding, that's exactly how the programs work, is that we haven't successfully made anything because we can't, because we don't understand them.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so far beyond that it's just, you know, it's fascinating, but it's not productive. You know, we're not getting stuff out of this really at all. And let me just put this out there. What the entities, if disclosure is real, and that's a big if, but if it is, the entities we're dealing with may be what we've previously referred to as the Fae, or angels, or spirits, or something that's not just Mr. Spock from Star Trek, you know what I mean?
Who's right.
And he's not human, but he's not that far from us. They may be something really far from us. And we'd have a tough time dealing with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I think that a lot of the phenomena at play here is the same thing. You know, you and I have talked about it kind of before. I think that ghosts are the same thing. That's just what my takeaway from it. And people get really upset when you say that to them.
Oh, yeah. There's a narrative that's, oh, this is the person who died in 1912, and this is, they just hang around here shaking their chains or whatever. And
right.
I can't accept that, you know?
Yeah, I'm not happy. I don't want that to happen when I die, you know? And so mostly, yes, I have some type of bias here because I would like to believe that ghosts aren't dead people. But we also have, I understand that I'm explaining a mystery with another mystery, but we don't have proof that ghosts are dead people either. Just because they tell us they are, that doesn't make any sense. Why would we believe them?
You know? John Keel was big on that and saying that don't trust what these spirits are saying. They claim to be Uncle George, and they can tell you all of the details of his life, but they're not Uncle George. Stop it. You don't know that, okay? And I'm sorry, but if I may, I can accept I don't like it, but I can accept the atheist idea that you just die and that's it. I don't think that's real. I think that's bullcrap, but I could accept that.
Sure.
I can accept that you go somewhere into some kind of afterlife. I can accept that. I personally believe in reincarnation. I believe in it very deeply because I have past life memories. Mm-hmm. I can't accept that you die and you spend the next 100 years just hanging around in the place you died. Yes. That makes no sense to me absolutely no sense at all.
Well, you know, and people place a lot of stock at, you know, oh, I live in this house and somebody died in it. And it's like, if you, any, humans have been around for 300,000 years. Any place that you stand on this planet, someone's died at.
Absolutely. Ghosts, some people die at McDonald's.
They sure do, right. You know. And there's not really, you know, an epidemic of ghosts running around. And then on top of that, well, let's add animals into the mix. Now you're really talking, I mean, just being completely overrun by ghosts. So
be tripping over them.
Right, what's that about? You know, I don't think, I mean, I've studied near-death experiences a lot. When my grandma was dying, she knew about it. It was a very interesting experience. So she knew she was dying when her health was still fine. It was about 2 months before she had died. She called my aunt over and she just told her, hey, I'm dying. What do you want? What do you want me to give you? I'm trying to work this will out. And just very nonchalantly. And they just kind of, she was like, oh, whatever, you know, she was like, but I'll take the car, you know, and they were just kind of laughing about it. Well, she died 2 months later. But leading up to the death, she had very interesting hallucinations. I'm not really sure what they were. My grandma didn't die because she had dementia. She didn't die because she had Alzheimer's. She didn't have any of those. She was 72 years old. She died because she had really bad COPD. And her oxygen cut out in the middle of the night one night, and she never recovered from it. So, you know, again, she wasn't out there. She wasn't losing her mind. She was still very much in sound mind up until that point. But she would have instances. She had one where she called another one of my aunts and was like, why won't you just come in the house? And she's like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, I see you. You've been standing around outside for about an hour. Why don't you just come in? My aunt wasn't there. There was another instance where she was started laughing about a creature that was sitting next to another one of my aunts. My grandma had five kids. And everybody's like, what are you laughing at? She's like, that little thing right there looks like E.T. And everybody's like, what? Very strange. And then my grandfather, when he died, he died before she did, back in the 90s. When he died, his watch stopped at an exact time that he died. It's very strange. It was something we always talked about in the family. Well, guess what? One of my grandmother's clocks stopped at the very time that she died.
Wow.
Very weird stuff. Very weird stuff. So it got me really interested. And again, this was before. This was actually just a couple of months before I had my Mothman sighting. And so I don't know if that matters. I don't know if they're related at all. But it got me really interested at the time in near-death experiences. It was 2016. And, you know, I was just curious, do other people know that they're dying? And when they're dying, leading up to that, are they seeing weird stuff? Because another story, another family history here, and I'll talk about these a lot. I'm not much of a ghost person. The near-death experiences is something I kind of hold close to me, just because it's incomplete research, if I'm being honest. Another story that we grew up with in my family is that one of my great aunts, as she was dying in the hospital, she started freaking out and crying about the fire. She was like, oh, the fire. Oh, it burns. Oh, no, the fire. And so my family had always grown up thinking that, you know, hell was a very real place because of that experience.
Oh, jeez.
Now, while I'm researching my grandmother's death and kind of how that's happening. Now, again, she didn't have a near-death experience. She just went to bed one night, didn't have oxygen, never woke back up. That was it. So we didn't actually get that. But it always interested me, the just everything leading up to it. When you actually look at people who have these experiences, they're definitely soaked in their religious background already. So now I've talked to a lot of people who have died, come back. I've talked to people that have died and say that nothing happens. Nothing happened. They just died, but they're alive now. I've talked to people who claim to go to other planets, who, you know, talk to these mysterious beings that are, you know, they don't have a physical body. And, you know, they tell them all the secrets of the world. I've had people that say that they talk to God. It still varies a lot. And, you know, the jury is still kind of out about whether or not these are hallucinations that your mind's creating, basically dreams, you know, what's going on there. One thing that does happen across the board with people who die is that when they come back to life, they're not afraid to die anymore. They don't have that mystery. They're totally fine with it. Whereas like you or I, a lot of us, you know, when we're faced with our own mortality, it's scary.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of the ultimate fear, yeah. You know.
So
it's very interesting because I got involved with the spiritualists. And people think of the spiritualists and they think of the 1800s, maybe early 1900s, but they're still around. And I got involved with Can you hear me currently?
Now I can.
Okay. Yeah,
I couldn't.
I guess I glitched for a second there. But yeah, I got involved with the spiritualist church and I like the stuff they say. Most people who are into that are into it to talk to dead relatives. Well, most of the relatives I know are still alive, so I'm not really, you know, that's not my angle. But they're kind of Christian, but they accept reincarnation. And they accept reincarnation as you, not like the Buddhist reincarnation where you disappear as a drop of water into the ocean. I don't want that kind of reincarnation. I want to be me just again, you know what I mean? And again and again and again and again, you know? And so I like where they're coming from. And but people I've talked to have had experiences where they were on a different planet in their past life. And yeah, that happened. And that is fascinating to me. And I have two questions for you. One, do you think some people leave their body before they die? Their soul leaves their body before they die. Like, especially I'm talking with Alzheimer's and dementia, that perhaps their spirit has left their body, but their body's still walking around. Does that make sense to you?
It does. I don't know.
I wasn't expecting a definitive answer, I assure you.
I don't think a lot. Yeah, I mean, I really don't have an opinion about what happens when you die. Because like I said, all the near-death experiences that I've cataloged are so wildly different. I have come across very interesting stories of reincarnation. We did that episode on the boy from Mars. That's probably the most interesting story. Yeah. That, you know, I've ever experienced. You know, clearly he came from a totally different planet, but also intelligent life. We don't have a lot of stories of people coming back in their past life. They were a tree, you know? So, you know what I mean? They weren't a bird.
Oh, no. I fully understand. Now, that's
so
the Hindu
I don't know
belief,
how it works.
And I don't dismiss it that maybe you do move from a mineral to a plant to an animal to a human. Maybe. I mean, I don't discount that. But as far as amongst us humans, reincarnation is the thing that appeals to me. And I'm always fascinated by strange statements by really young kids who seem to remember things that they couldn't possibly remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that was me. And that was also my daughter. And she said something when she talked early. I have two kids. One talked early, one talked late. That's not the important part. But She talked really early. Like she could fully make sentences at the age of one. And she looked at my wife one day and said, "Yeah, you're my mom now, but I was your mom last time."
Oh, that's weird.
And yes, that freaked me the hell out. Okay. And she also communicated with beings that she'd go down to the, okay, like the AC or heating vents, and she'd spend a lot of time like whispering down there and passing little objects like a toothbrush and stuff down there. And I said, "What are you doing?" "I'm talking to the dolphins."
Dolphins,
"Who are
interesting.
the dolphins?" "Well, the dolphins live in the vents." "Okay. Yeah, no problems. Cool. I'll sleep easy tonight."
Sounds like fae
Oh,
folk to me.
damn. I don't know what it is, but it's something, you know?
Of a
And
house spirit, sure.
yeah, and we had a refrigerator that you get water dispensed out of it. And I said, "Where does this water come from?" And she said, "It comes way down deep where the Indians live." And I
Oh.
was like, "Holy crap. What are you talking about? Oh my God." Yeah, she had a bunch of those. It was an experience.
That certainly sounds like, yeah, a very horrifying way to live.
I mean, no, it was, but it wasn't threatening or scary, you know what I mean? It was just, this is weird, but this is day-to-day life, you know? The only time that I had a genuinely threatening experience, I didn't associate it with the paranormal at all. Okay. I thought it was very real physical humans in my house. So I was a cop at that time, and I came home, and it's about 2:30, and my kids are at school, and my wife's at work, so I'm alone in the house. I come in, and I hear some people walking around upstairs. We had a two-story house, and it sounds like they're taking an air conditioner, because we didn't have central air at that moment. We had box units, you know,
Yeah.
and it sounds like they're taking out an air conditioning box unit out of the window, you know, which was a common crime at that time. And but it sounds like there's two dudes upstairs in my house. And I just came from work, so I got my gun on. I pull up and I tactically clear the second floor. There's nobody there. There's nobody there. And I went through every single room. I went through every closet. I went through everything. There's no way they could have run away or disappeared or
Sure.
jumped out a window. It didn't happen. But somebody was stomping around up there. Something happened. It's like, what the hell? And I wasn't thinking anything paranormal. I was thinking there's some people that broke into my house, you know?
Right.
And that was legit. That was the one, like, kind of really scary thing that happened, because I wasn't expecting nothing. Okay. Like, where did they go? I mean, and I heard these were not, okay, we had squirrels. I know a squirrel sounds like a raccoon, a possum. It wasn't that. This sounds like a 200-pound man walking around on my second floor, and there's nobody there. There's absolutely nothing
Wow.
there. And that was weird. Yeah.
I've had my fair share of paranormal experiences, but I don't really
Oh, I've had very few, but that was just one weird one. Yeah.
I mean that's what we used to do when we were teenagers. We would go to these allegedly haunted places and, you know, it was just any excuse to get in the car and drive. I mean, you know, we went joyriding and all the scary, spooky, and of course we've seen stuff. Sometimes it was explainable, sometimes it wasn't. You know, but I never really I didn't do then what I do now. And even though I do what I do now, I still only really concern myself with the paranormal if A, somebody comes to me directly and they are in need of help, or B, if it is just where the path that I'm taking down with whatever it is I'm currently investigating, which has certainly happened a time or two. So, but it's not something that I primarily focus on. I mean, I can. I'm not far from a lot of really historically haunted places. We certainly could, and sometimes, I want to go just because, but not for any type of real career move, just out of plain curiosity and to say that I did it, maybe to get some pictures for Instagram, but that's about it, you
Hey,
know.
that's always important.
You
That's marketing.
gotta be on top of your social media game, you know.
Exactly. Hey, Ashers, do you mind if we take like a 5-minute break?
Sure.
All right, let's do that, and we'll be
Okay.
right back. So, yes, we've covered some ground, which has been fascinating. What would you say? And I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, maybe a little bit, but what would you say was the most interesting case you've actually in, like firsthand investigated?
Man, that's hard. I think they're all interesting. That's a tough question. Sometimes, I can't say it's really particular cases. Okay, I've got one. So at my day job, because for people that like you and I were talking about off air, you still have to have a day job in this field.
Oh, yeah.
So I at my day job, I work from home. And I'm not gonna say what I do, but that's okay. I was having technical difficulties, so I had to bring my equipment into work to the tech guy, whom I've never met before. I started this job during the pandemic. I don't really know anybody that works there. We had a work outing one time, not an outing, it was like a meeting that we all had to attend, and I didn't know anybody. I don't even know what my boss looks like. And so anyway, so I
Wow,
show up.
that sounds like a drag, to be honest.
No, it's nice. I don't mind it at all. So I don't want to know those people. But that's just
Oblivious.
I've always been that way. I'm not, I don't really make friends at work. I did at one of my jobs, and I've had many, many jobs. But that's just, I just separate the two. So anyway, so I take my computer stuff into the guy, and he's helping me. So what's happening is, for work, we have a laptop and we have dual monitors. So I don't actually, my laptop stays closed. Both of my monitors stay open, but one of my monitors was just showing up black. I just got a new desk. I just unplugged everything and plugged it all back in, and it would work. And for days, I had taken everything apart, put it all back together. And I joke about being a bad millennial, but I'm not that bad at technology, right? I've got some basic knowledge. Of how to plug things into the correct port and things like that. And so I just couldn't get it to work. So I show up, we cart all my stuff in. Him and I are just chit-chatting, no big deal. And he sets my computer stuff up, and I mean, he plugs everything in and it works. Everything works and it was fine. So then I don't remember how we got on the subject of what we were talking about. I think it's because I was talking about writing my book, because my book has been exclusively on my work laptop. And he was like, "Oh, what are you writing a book about?" And I was like, "Oh, well, it's gonna get weird, but it's about the Mothman." And this man's whole face lights up, and he goes, "Oh, no, I've seen it. I've seen that." And I was like,
Really?
"You've seen the Mothman?" And he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know what I do. He's a man probably in his 60s. He's got no interest in this stuff. He's like, "Yeah, I've seen that." He said, "Wait." He said, "Do you know about the he said, or he's like, "Well, maybe it wasn't the Mothman." I was like, Okay. And he's like, "Have you heard about the Crosswick monster?" And that got me very excited, because that is an extremely specific creature. When you talk about unknown creatures, that's definitely on the list there. The Crosswick monster.
I'll be honest. At that point, you got me. I have
I've
never
never
heard
heard
of
of
that
this one.
once.
Oh, it's a fun story. It's pretty quick. So back in the, I believe it was just before the 1900s. It was in like 1890, or maybe it was like 1905, somewhere in that time. There were two boys that were going fishing in what is now Waynesville, Ohio. At the time it was, I think, Crosswick Township or something. And they were going fishing, and they noticed that they were being watched by something, but they weren't really sure what. So they decide to start leaving, and as they're leaving, a 30-foot long lizard came out, grabbed one of the boys, and started carrying him into this old dead hollow tree.
Holy
And
crap. Okay. Wow. Like, is this like a dinosaur?
so okay, it gets weirder. So it's
It's
crawling
weird.
again,
Please.
30 foot from tip of the nose to tip of the tail, 30 feet, and starts crawling into this tree. And so another guy in the area hears this going on, and he happens to be hanging out in the area with, the town priest, and another guy and another guy, and they come to the rescue, and they actually get the boy from this creature's jaws. I mean, actually pry the boy from the creature and take him in the town real quick and take him to the doctor. The boy survived, but the men were so upset by this, there's a 30-foot creature that's snatching up our kids. They all got a classic cryptid mob together, and decided to go out to the tree that this creature crawled up into and drive it out of there. So they're trying to. It's in the tree. There's about 100 people there, and they're trying to figure out a way to get it out. They've got dogs trying to get it. They're trying to reach up there. Eventually, there's a hole in the top of this tree, and this creature jumps out of the hole at the top of the tree. It lands on the ground. It stands up on 2 feet and runs away on its 2 feet, and takes off into a little cave that's right there in the area. So a lot of people, after seeing it stand up on 2 feet, left. They were like, fuck this, we're leaving, and they left. But
Don't need
some of
this
the other,
trouble
yeah, they're
now.
like, oh yeah, no way, we're out of here. So they did, they got out of there. Well, some of the other people decided, well, no, they're going to see this thing through. It's obviously, it's dangerous. So they followed, and they put men on the exit of where that cave could go to, and nobody ever saw it again. Super obscure. There's some psychological history with the two boys. The younger boy, I mean, he did make a full recovery, but they both eventually left town completely. Never went fishing again. Loved to fish, never went fishing again. Never went in the woods again. I mean, so we've got records of this happening to a degree. Whatever happened there, maybe it wasn't 30 feet long. Humans are really bad at measuring size. Maybe it was. Whatever
And just
happened
like in
there.
criminal cases, the perpetrator's always larger than
Right.
what he really is because
Yeah.
you're scared. So
Right.
maybe it wasn't 30 feet, but maybe it was 20 feet, you know.
I mean, maybe if it was even 10, what was it, a Komodo dragon? I mean, what was going on? Why did it walk on two legs and leave? Something happened. Something happened in Waynesville, Ohio, during that time. I don't know what, but this man mentions this, like I said, very obscure creature, very obscure incident, and goes, maybe that's what I saw. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And so he explains it to me, tells me the story. He said, okay, I was sitting on my porch. I live in Waynesville. I was sitting on my porch, and I just like to sit out there and watch. Waynesville is pretty rural. There's nothing but a lot of trees there. It's not very far from me. Maybe about 15 minutes away. And he's just looking. He says he keeps binoculars there on his porch, because there's deer and coyote, and you see all kinds of things, right? Porch sitting. So one day
Oh, yeah.
he sees something walking along on two legs, and he didn't really understand, what he was seeing. So he grabbed his binoculars, and he looked at it, and he said it was just a dark figure. And I'm like, okay, Bigfoot, right? Because Bigfoot's actually, there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings in that area as a Bigfoot. Dogman, I mean, why are you saying it's potentially Mothman or the Crosswick monster? You're talking about a 30-foot long salamander type creature, or you're talking about a winged humanoid. Two totally different things. And he said the reason why he didn't know what it was because it had something on its back. He couldn't make out details of what the whole thing was. It was just like a shadow figure, but it had something either on its back, and it was either wings hunched up into the back, or it was like spikes, like you'd see on a dinosaur. He didn't know. He couldn't tell.
Wow.
And I was like, that's super interesting. He's invited me to come out to his property. I haven't talked to him about it ever again. He really wants me to go out there and investigate. But this just happened a couple months ago. It hasn't been that long, but it was just such a strange circumstance. He's like, there's so much history, so much lore in that area. And, if you ask the town folk about it, they'll tell you it's just a part of everyday life. It's not a mystery to them. They know there's something strange going on in those woods. They just stay away at night, and typical Appalachian lore. Don't follow the baby cries out there. If something whistles, don't whistle back, things like that. But like I said, from a completely unsolicited person that had no idea who I was or what I did, and he says these two very specific things that pertain to me. So and my computer again worked just fine. So for whatever reason, I'm gonna take that as a sign of I was meant to go there and hear this guy's story.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The term synchronicity gets thrown around a lot, but those do happen. And they happen all the time. And yeah, that sounds like one of them,
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to jump around with all the questions, but
it's okay.
If you don't mind talking about it, you are a practicing witch. Is that about right?
I would say that that's probably the best way to describe it, yes.
Okay. could you elaborate? So you're not a Wiccan, but you do some stuff, or...
So I don't... yes, I don't subscribe to Wiccanism. I don't even know the proper term.
Gardnerian Wiccanism was kind of made up by this guy named Gardner back in the early 1900s, but he said he was bringing back the original witchcraft, but he was kind of not really doing that. But I mean, there are people who have practice it and absolutely gotten results, and there are people who that is their spiritual path.
Sure. I don't follow that to a T. I don't particularly practice paganism. I don't I don't adhere to books and things like that, but what I do is practice witchcraft, I mean, for lack of a better term. As a matter of fact, I really enjoy, even though a lot of people say that you can't, it's a closed practice, and maybe I'm going to get in trouble, but I really enjoy the idea of hoodoo.
Wow, really?
I do, yeah.
Please elaborate on that, because
sure, it's
go ahead.
Hoodoo is basically what, so when African American, well, when African slaves were brought to America, they were basically whitewashed of everything, including their religion, one of their religions being voodoo. So what they had done at the time was a very poor man's version of voodoo mixed with some of the, stories and stuff that they were learning from Christianity. As a matter of fact, a lot of hoodoo practitioners will tell you that the Book of Psalms is a spell book. In the
Bible. Okay. I'd never heard that before, but
yeah,
as soon as you said it, it made sense. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's one of the claims that they make. But I'm not going to say that I practice hoodoo. That's incorrect. But the way that their spells work are very literal. So if you want somebody to, I guess love magic is probably the most popular. If you want somebody to fall in love with you, you would do something like do a honey jar spell. So you would like write their name on a piece of paper, put it in a jar. You'd fill that jar with sweet things, whatever you want. Honey being popular, it could be syrup, it could be straight sugar, good things. And then you go and you seal the jar with wax, and then you bury it outside or put it in your underwear drawer. it's very, very literal. We talked about it sort of on the cursed objects episode with Heather Mosier about what a freezer spell is. If you have somebody that you want to shut the fuck up, and in whatever way you want them to stop bothering you want them to stop gossiping, you would write their name on a piece of paper. You would put that piece of paper in water, and then, in a container, and you would freeze it in your spell, and you keep it there. When I practice these things, that's how I conduct my spell work. I just do it very literally, and I make it feel right. However, whatever that means to me, I don't really follow any grimoires or anything like that. But most of the spell work that I do is very much related to manifestation and the law of attraction, because it is real. It's very real and it works. And then of course I do tarot reading. That's something that I started about a month before my whole life changed in 2019, September 2019, before I went to the Mothman Festival. And I don't know exactly what called me to do it at the time, but it's just something that I picked up one day and I still do now. I've played with runes and rune casting and different tools of divination, I guess, are things that I'm not afraid of using in my research itself. So
Yeah, no, I appreciate everything you're saying. I had an excellent interview with the owner of probably the only hoodoo shop in Milwaukee, who is from Alabama. And yeah, it's fascinating to me. It's absolutely fascinating. There is, would you say, there's kind of a, I hate to call it that, but a white version called powwow that a lot of the Appalachians use, and that is not that different.
Yes, I would say that that is pretty. I've never heard it called powwow before.
Oh
I've just heard it referred to as like Appalachian folk magic.
yes.
Which is basically, but again, I don't study it to that degree, because I just have never felt a need to. Again, for me, if it feels right, do it, so that's
Hey, I can't
but it
argue
is
with that
similar.
ethic.
Yeah,
Yes.
it is very
And
similar to
it's
hoodoo.
very practical. It's very folk magic. It's not Aleister Crowley. It's not I'm going to explain the universe and how it works to you. It's just I'm going to make this thing happen. Okay.
Right.
And I can vibe with that a lot more than, some of the more esoteric things that require you to accept an entire belief system just to do this thing,
Yeah.
that makes sense to me. And it makes sense to me that there's a class aspect to this, that the working people have always had things they do that just we do them because they work, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's kind of what both hoodoo and powwow and all of that kind of is that it's definitely supernatural, but it's not like a hierarchical theology where we can explain the whole universe down to you, okay?
Yeah. It's not a religion. It's a
Exactly. It's
a
not a
lifestyle.
religion. Precisely.
And people get confused by that because actually, as a teenager, I was in a coven, and the woman that ran the whole thing, she was a Christian. I mean, that's what she believed in, and we
Okay,
did
I'm
all kinds of.
sorry.
Sure.
Please explain to how that works, okay?
I don't really think that I understood it a lot at that time. I was dating a girl pretty much the entirety. I have a very strange relationship history, but I was dating a girl pretty much the entirety of my teenagerhood, and her and her mother were Wiccans, and they had a coven. It was her and her mom and her Aunt April, and they would do rituals and things like that. And then they've, because I was, her and I were pretty much inseparable for a very long time, just kind of invited me into it. It was interesting. So one Halloween, so April always decorated her house crazy for Halloween. She didn't just decorate her house. She also owned the house beside her and decorated it too. So one Halloween, they decided that it would be really fun to have the mom, Dixie, over at the second house, and it would be like dressed up all witchy, and then she would be dressed as a witch and she would be conjuring spirits. And it was kind of one of the first times that I really, saw anything at play here. And I mean, it was crazy because she's over there and she's reading off the spell book. And of course, everybody else has done the wiser. It's Halloween, right? She's playing a part. She's not. I mean, she is chanting and speaking in tongues and things I've never heard of. And the wind is insane. I mean, the wind is howling, and it was not supposed to be windy. I'll say that. It was very interesting. So I don't know. Again, we would, get together in circles and do stuff, and it was never anything. It wasn't always very personal, but it could be. It just depended on what it was. And then, eventually, her and I went our separate ways. And I didn't really do much of any of that for a while. So
No,
I don't know why.
I think I get you. You mentioned speaking in tongues. Now, I've been a member of certain organizations, and I'm not currently, but there's not a total disconnect between Pentecostalism and the occult. There are some people who, if I may be so bold, do folk magic on Friday and show up at the Pentecostal church and speak in tongues on Sunday. Does that sound about right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's very much not foreign at all. A lot of people just join like a witchcraft Facebook group, and they'll tell you what their actual religious background is. And it's some form of Bible.
It's very interesting. I can tell you 10 years ago, I knew exactly two self-described witches. And they were both Gardnerian Wiccans. And they were both elderly. Now I have so many friends that are witches, I can't keep track of them all. And which kind of witches they are, you know what I mean? It's exploded. Does that sound about right?
I'd agree with that. I just tell people I'm spiritual. I don't know how to describe what I do. I think there is a word for it, but I don't know what it is. I don't need to know what it is. Again, I think that there's a science
Chaos
behind
magic,
it.
maybe.
Maybe chaos magic. Chaos magic, I do practice to a degree. So I'm familiar, but not necessarily. I don't think necessarily, because that's got other moving parts to it. I
Yeah,
just
it does.
when I watch tarot readers, and I do, I'll watch people read tarot on like
I
YouTube and
love
stuff.
tarot.
Yeah, I've got favorite one. Even though I can read, tarot's people don't really understand tarot. It's not meant to predict your future.
No.
Tarot is meant to give you a different perspective on your situation.
Well, you did one for me at the beginning of the year,
I did.
and I really appreciate it because it was dead on. It was like incredibly accurate.
It's
And
eerie, yeah.
yeah, it's not fortune telling. It's present telling. It's telling you this is how things are, and it's giving you some insights. It doesn't tell you how, it doesn't give you lottery numbers, okay? It doesn't
No.
work like that, you know, but it tells you this is how your situation is, and it gives you some insights, and that was very valuable to me.
Well, and people that are skeptical about tarot reading, they're like, oh, well, you they put it in the same category as like psychic cold reading, and it's not the same thing.
No.
Because these cards, there's 78 of them, and they all mean something different. And they all mean something different when they're in reverse. So you're talking all of those possibilities, and you happen to draw the exact cards that pertain to that person's situation. I've never done a tarot reading, and they're like, yeah, that doesn't really apply to me ever. And when I do them, they're exhausting. What you're talking about is, my Patreon members. I did a year ahead for anybody that was a patron as of the new year, and nobody was like, that's incorrect. As a matter of fact, one thing that was hilarious, one of the people that I did a reading for, one of the theme of it was like, slow down, slow down. You're doing too much. Just calm down and just, take a minute to relax. You don't have to worry about people judging you for not doing a lot. You're allowed to take time for you. It's fine. You need to have that space. And so I had put the post out. I had been advertising this for people to join the Patreon before the start of the year so that way I could do the readings. And he had actually commented on that post, said, oh, yeah, I got my reading. I haven't read it yet. I haven't had the time. I was like, yep, I know. I know that you haven't. And, so.
Precisely that. Yeah, exactly. That was that guy's problem, is he
Right.
wasn't making the time.
He wasn't making the time, right? And so, it was very funny. Because of course I started laughing and I'm like, I can't wait till you read it. And he was of course like, oh yeah, that's great. And everybody said that. And I don't know, some of my patrons I know, but I don't know all of them. Some of them I've never had a conversation with. And they enjoyed getting the reading and doing it. And I thought about incorporating it back into the patron in some Patreon in some way, but I'm just not sure how, because like I said, it is exhausting and I don't really know how to explain that. Because in some way it's
That's
channeling.
interesting because it takes energy out of you.
It does. It's very, it can be very daunting
I
to do.
honestly didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's because like I said,
It's
you get these
draining.
cards. Well, you get these cards and they all have different meanings. And like I said, depending on if they're in reverse, it has a different meaning to it. I'm not perfect at tarot reading. Just because it's something I personally took on, I didn't want to become a tarot reader like as a career or anything. So I still have to consult my sources of what these cards mean. But while you're doing that, it's not just one card that you have, it's multiple cards. And then there's like a, I don't know how to explain it. It's like you're deciphering for the person. Like I said, it's a type of channeling. It's very strange. You
Oh
kind of
yeah.
just go out of your body and it just tells
I had
you.
my first one at Strange Realities 2021. I don't know if you know what I'm referring to, but
I do. Yeah, it's a convention.
yes, I had my first tarot reading there. And damn, it was dead on. It was like, how the hell could you possibly know that? There's no way you could know that, okay? And it was very impressive, you know?
It's very fun.
Okay, I don't want to change the subject too hard,
Okay.
but you mentioned the law of attraction.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I hate the book, The Secret.
I've never read it. I don't know.
Just think it's so much bullshit. No. You can't just manifest stuff by thinking about it. You gotta go and take the actual steps to make that happen. Does that sound about right?
But that is what you're doing. So it's the same thing. It's a psychological placebo. Okay. So you sit down and you decide that you're going to manifest something, right? You get that vision in your head. This is what I want. I want to have this thing. And it becomes heavy on your mind. So going forward from there, whether or not you understand that you're consciously doing it, it is now locked into your subconscious. You have this thing that you want. You just conducted. Maybe you conducted a spell. Maybe you did some meditation. You focused on it for a little bit. You know that you need to do things to also make that happen.
Exactly. Oh, I'm
So,
sorry. I don't mean to
no,
interrupt.
that's
Go ahead.
okay. There is a
But
science
you
to it.
gotta
You're
make
not
the
wrong.
actual things in reality happen.
Right.
You gotta take the physical steps. You gotta file the documents. You gotta, do the things that it takes. You can't just
dream about it, and poof, it happens. It doesn't work like that. Does that sound about right?
It's very similar to words of affirmation. So, you know, we all know that. I think of, what's his name? Rodney Dangerfield. When he's,
I'm sorry.
Looking in the mirror. People like me.
I am such a super fan. I know he's dead, but God, he was one of the greatest. Go ahead.
I can't remember what movie it was, but he's looking in the mirror and he's doing like a tape. And he's like doing like words of affirmation to himself. And it sounds silly, but it works. And there is a science to it.
I believe in affirmation. Absolutely.
It's the same thing. It's the same science.
But you got to take the physical steps in the real world. Who's that guy that wrote that comic book that? And when I say comic book, I don't mean to be like dismissive, because it was like a graphic novel. Okay? He's like shaved head, goatee, 20 years younger, maybe me. Anyway, he is a magician, and he's a chaotic magician.
Grant Morrison?
Yes, that guy. And he's like, you gotta, you still gotta do the stuff in the real world. You know what I mean?
Right. Because you can't just create something from nothing.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way. You know, you can't be like, think of a really cool celebrity that people like. Well, I'll just say Grant Morrison. I want Grant Morrison to fall in love with me. Well, Grant Morrison's not going to fall in love with you unless you get your ass to Grant Morrison physically and he actually knows who you are. Like, that's not ever going to happen. I'm not saying go stalk Grant Morrison or anything. Don't do that. But, you know,
I was thinking Nick Cage, but never mind.
Could be Nick Cage. You know, whatever your flavor is. But, you know, you do have to, you know, take the motions to set these things in motion for them to take place. You can't
win the lottery unless you buy a ticket.
Exactly.
That was the quote I was digging for when I was talking about him.
You can't win
the lottery unless you buy a ticket. Precisely. Yeah.
That's right on the money, you know. And so it's not just about creating your own reality because you can just sit in your home and think about it. You have to do both too. But it's ritualistic, whatever that ritual is, to gear you up, to hype you up, to put in the work, to do the things. It is important to some of us, to a lot of us. A lot of us that practice this stuff have some sense of neurodivergence, and having that ritual, helps.
Since you threw that term out there, a lot of us may have, in our generation, okay, I'll just cut to the quick. I'm 52. You're like 31, 32, thereabouts. Neurodivergent wasn't a thing when we were growing up, you know? Sound about right?
It wasn't a thing when I was growing up.
No, it sure as hell wasn't a thing when I was growing up. You were either, and I don't mean this in an offensive way, absolutely not, but the term was retarded, okay? You were either retarded or you were not, and that was it, you know? But one of my best friends in high school, one of the smartest guys I ever knew, was dyslexic, and he had to go through special education classes, and that got you labeled. And it was a whole deal with that. You know, it's terrible. Hopefully our society has improved beyond that, you know, good God, you know, I hope we've improved beyond that, but different people perceive things differently.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you may be neurodivergent and, you know, that's not wrong. You know, that's just a different way of seeing the world. And there's a lot of us out there.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughter, who just got her college degree in environmental science, has been diagnosed with ADHD and maybe on the autism spectrum. And she said, well, where do you think I got this? I got it from you. And yeah, maybe she did. Maybe I've always been that way, but it wasn't a thing back then. You know what I mean? Our society has changed so drastically over the decades that, you know, I accept that. But yeah, everybody doesn't perceive everything the same way.
Yeah, that's really hard for people to understand for some reason. I guess because we can't perceive it that way. I'm not sure. but it does seem to be something that a lot of folks tend to struggle with.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be, but many things shouldn't be, you know.
Sure.
Anyway. Oh, my God. Hey, we've been talking for a while, and I really appreciate everything you've had to say, Ashers, because, damn, this has been one of the best podcasts ever. I'm dead serious. Do you mind? I'm kind of running out of time a little bit. Maybe we should probably end this here for now.
Sure.
But I definitely want to pick this up in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've shown that I'm more than happy to come back on anytime.
Because, hey, look, I'm not trying to be a flatterer, but you're probably my best repeat guest ever, because you always show up and like put it down hard and give people shit they want to hear about. Okay, does this sound about right?
Don't tell your other guests that you said that.
Oh, I have no intention to do so. But I will tell my fans, you know. This is the best you're going to get, okay? Look, if you are listening to the weird part with Vincent Truewell, this is the best you're going to get. Anytime you see Ashley Hilt show up on here, you need to click on that shit, because that's really happening, okay? She's going to talk about all that stuff.
All that and stuff.
I'm sorry. I know what I just said, but I have to ask you one last question.
Okay, sure.
What about Ouija boards?
I'm sorry, what about what?
Ouija boards.
Oh, Ouija boards. Ouija boards. I mean, I don't really feel any type of way about them. I know that people are very afraid of them unnecessarily.
I know people who are self-described witches who won't fuck with Ouija boards.
Yeah, it's okay. Weird.
I also know people who use them on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with them because I had a very bad experience many years ago. That doesn't really matter. But anyway, it's a very questionable concept, but what are your thoughts? Go ahead.
So, I mean, I own them. We sell them, actually.
Oh, do you?
When I go to conventions, one of my friends makes them out of resin and sells them with resin planchettes. I have never really had a negative experience with them. It's just like any other tool of divination. But here's my thing about it. A lot of people are like, oh, don't mess with them, demons. Let me tell you something. If a demon's after you, it's after you. And there's nothing that you can do to stop it. It doesn't matter if you talk to it through a Ouija board. It doesn't open a portal. They're going to come at you anyway, if they want to. It doesn't draw attention to you.
They can probably reach you through cable TV.
Any way that they would want to. These are demons you're talking about. I mean, my gosh, if you really adhere to that idea and you think that demons in your religion are that powerful, it's not a piece of cardboard that's going to bring them out. It's just whatever. I don't think that Milton Bradley or Parker Brothers or whoever the hell it is that puts it out as a board game for kids would do that if this was a powerful tool to summon demons in the world. But they can be fun. I prefer a spirit box. It's the same concept.
I was going to follow up with the spirit box. Go ahead.
It's the same thing. It's just that you're using a different tool to get in contact with whatever. And I don't necessarily know if I believe that it's a spirit on the other side of the spirit box. I don't know if it's synchronatic. I don't know.
Maybe part of your own mind or something.
Right. I'm very open to it. I use the spirit box regularly when I go out to places. And we've had some really freaky hits. But, you know, who knows if it was just coincidental, if you believe in that type of thing or what. But and then you also don't have to, you know, with a Ouija board, you got to have everybody's hands on the planchette. How can you trust your partner next to you that they're not moving it?
Well, I've heard stories about the planchette moving by itself and all sorts of things.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, that's probably
never happened to me.
That's,
you know,
probably about right. Yeah. No. Hey, I really appreciate you coming on here and talking with me about all this crazy stuff. And man, this has gone great. And thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Hey, I'm going to follow up on that. Okay. Tell me if I'm hectoring you too often, because I need to have you as a regular guest. But anyway, where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Facebook, Ashley Hilt. I'm the one with the red hair. You can find me on Instagram at It's Ashers. Also on Twitter at It's Ashers with a Z. I'm sorry, it's not Twitter now, it's X. And you can listen to...
Yeah, whatever. We're going to go to Mars, whatever.
Right.
What a jackass. Anyway, I
that's okay. And you can listen to my podcast on Wednesdays. We Talk Weird every Wednesday, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being a guest, because you're one of our best guests. And I really appreciate it. And I think we only covered about half the stuff I want to talk about. So I'm going to need to ask you to come back and talk about the other half. You know,
we'll do a part two.
We didn't even get to cryptids. What the hell? how did that work? We didn't get to cryptids? No kidding. Anyway, I really appreciated this. And you've been a great guest. And folks, I hope you appreciate this. But yes, this has been The Weird Part. My special guest has been Ashley Hilt. I am your host, Vincent Truwell. Thank you. And good night.